The reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, from verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to one another who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. It's me again. Let me pray as I start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service and for the time that we've been able to welcome Harper into our church family. And I just pray that you'd be with us now as we think about this passage from Acts and what it means for us as a church family. Amen. Well, if you are a guest here, then let me just explain that at the moment, we are going through our vision as a church. We have a 7-word vision statement of who we are, and you can test the people who are regular members of our congregation by asking them at the end what the whole vision statement is. And if they can't tell you, then blame Joe. And today, we are thinking about making friends. And I thought I'd start by reading some quotes about friendship. The first one comes from Tennessee Williams. Life is partly what we make it, and partly what is made by the friends that we choose. Or what about this one from Woodrow Wilson? Friendship is the only cement that will ever hold the world together. Or Marlene Dietrich, who said, it's the friends you call up at 4 a.m. that matter. Well, everybody needs friends, don't they? And we probably all have, I hope, some people that we can call upon that are our closest friends who we are journeying through our lives with. It's something that all of us want, whether we're part of a church or not part of a church. We have friends. So you might be thinking, okay, Kate, we've all got friends. Why have you chosen making friends to be part of your vision statement for the church? What does it mean to be a friend in a church? Well, I'm not talking about kind of normal, run-of-the-mill friendship. I'm talking about life-changing friendship. We want to be a church where there are friendships that go deeper than any other friendship, where there are friendships that are more fulfilling than any other friendships, where there are friendships where you are loved, encouraged, known, where there are friendships where someone is walking alongside you and is pulling you sometimes or pushing you other times closer to Jesus. These are the kind of friends we want to grow in the church. I'm not talking about, and my favorite film is Bridget Jones, so I think often I would drop in a Bridget Jones quote, see if you notice. Here's one, introduce your friends with thoughtful detail. This is my best friend Simon and we play tennis together. We're not talking about that kind of friendship. We're talking about, this is my best friend Penelope and she pulls me closer to Jesus. And she challenges me about the things that are happening in my life that are not of God. And we are sharing our faith with the community that we live in. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about friendship in the church. We don't want to have a church of cliques where people just chat to the people who are in the same life stage as them. We want to have friendships in the church where people feel welcome and drawn in, and where everything is centered around Jesus. And as we were thinking about this talk today about making friends, we thought, what better place to look for an example of this than the early church, which is why we had that passage from Acts chapter 2. And we see in this passage how the early church, these baby believers, were both inward looking in terms of growing and developing their community, but they were also outward looking in terms of sharing the faith. And the first thing I want to talk about is making friends means being committed to the fellowship. In Acts, the word fellowship is koinonia in the Greek, which means holding something in common. And this group, think of what they'd been through. Those of them who were some of the earliest believers would have met Jesus. They'd have loved Jesus. They didn't really get who he was to begin with, but then they understood, and then he died, and then he came back to life, and then he went to heaven. I just can't imagine what a roller coaster of emotion that would have been. But what is holding them together is their devotion to Jesus. And they're said to be devoted both to one another and also to fellowship with one another. They're devoted to the teaching and to fellowship and to prayer. They're devoted to coming together, to pray together, to share communion together, and to listen to God's teaching. They're basically devoted to church. Now, I wonder what your relationship is with coming to church. How do you feel about coming to church this morning? I wouldn't miss it. I'm devoted to it. It would be amazing if we all said that, but we may not. And when we're thinking about having the same kind of devotion to being together that the early church had, we mean not just wanting to come to church to catch up with our friends, but being devoted to the practice of worship done together. Because there's something so special, isn't there, about standing together in God's presence and lifting our voices to him in worship. And I remember when we were kind of in the middle of the lockdown, one thing we talked about as a staff team was an app that was a digital church. And the thing that really got me was when it was the peace before communion and you were told that you could choose someone. So I might say, right, Flo Thornton, I want to give the peace to Flo Thornton this Sunday. So Flo would come up and we'd give each other a digital high five. And my brain was exploding at this, because all I was thinking was, I don't want to give Flo a digital high five. I want to give her a hug, because I love being with my church family together, worshiping together. And I wonder if you love Jesus, if you have a moment in your life that is a special moment of being in worship that you can't forget. And I'd love you to tell me at the end of the service if you have one. For me, it was 2009 Easter when I was on a trip to Israel and we snuck off to the Garden Tomb at dawn. And we were there in what may or may not have been the tomb that Jesus came out from. And with brothers and sisters from across the world, we sang, "See What a Morning." And honestly, I have goosebumps just remembering that moment. The early church were steadfastly committed to worshiping together. Nothing was going to stop them. That's what making friends meant to them. And secondly, in our passage, we see that they broke bread in their homes. Because we want to be a community where the friendships happen, not just here in the church building. The early Christians didn't just meet on a Sunday, they also spent time regularly in each other's homes. Now, they probably weren't doing video Bible studies like we do at the moment. They'd have been spending time together and deepening their friendships and relationships. And this is another way in which we can make friends at church. If we're part of a group that regularly meets together, we have a chance for deeper friendship, deeper friendships and relationships that can help you in your faith, but can also just be there for you when life is difficult. It's a lovely thing that some of Harper's godparents are some of the people in your Connect group, aren't they? And they're some of the people who've journeyed with you and who've been praying for Harper. And I know from some of the stories that I've heard from your Connect group what a special group it is, and the way that you have loved and supported each other as some of the people in your group have had a really difficult year. And that's what being friends is. It's not just being at church together. It's being part of a group for fellowship where we're loving one another and growing in faith together, but we're also supporting each other through the good times and the bad times. And then thirdly, we see in Acts, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Because talking about fellowship is not meaning that we come to church and we chat to people that we think we have things in common with. We don't want to form cliques where all these people work here or all these people have their kids at this school, and those are the groups that we have in our church. We long to have a togetherness that is centered on the fact that we all have found Christ. Because that is what we have in common. That is our common drive and energy. And if we take a step back for a moment and we think of the early church and we think about who would have been sitting in the seats in the church, there would have been phenomenally rich people. There would have been people who had nothing. There would have been people who were slaves, who were literally the belonging of somebody else. There would have been those slaves' masters. There would have been people who were Jews. There would have been people who were Greeks. And they were not meant to be spending time together. They were not meant to be eating a meal together or having communion together. And it's such a mix of people that given all the hierarchical rules, they'd never have been in a social circle at the same time. Because in the early church, in that time period, you only had a social encounter with someone if it improved your social standing. Because the whole purpose of being a citizen of the Roman Empire was that you were trying to improve your lot in life. So you would only be speaking to someone if they could maybe give you something. But when this church met together, their faith meant all those differences melted away. And one of my favorite books of the Bible is the letter that Paul writes to Philemon. And in it, Paul says to Philemon, who is a slave master and owns a slave, that he should be accepting back his runaway slave. Because this slave, Onesimus, had stolen away from Philemon, gone to Paul, become a Christian, and now Paul is sending him back and saying, he's no longer your slave. He's a believer. He's now your brother. That is the kind of friendships that we want, ones that are like as unexpected as Philemon being friends and a brother to his slave. So that's my third point. We want to be remembering that we have Christ in common and all other differences have melted away. And then finally, we see in this passage from Acts, and the Lord added to their number. Because not only were they focused on inwardly building up the community, but they were also reaching out and sharing their faith with the people that they knew. And the growth of the early church was astronomical. The sociologist Rodney Stark, who's written about the early church, and I was reading yesterday that there was a point at which Christians were banned from visiting pagan women's houses because all the women were becoming Christians because Christianity was so good for them. So let me tell you about how Christianity grew in number. And I've been practicing saying the numbers aloud, because if you listen to the podcast newscast, there's a bit at the beginning where Priti Patel can't read the number out. And I was told today that I basically did that. So year 40 AD, there are 1,000 Christians, which is something like 0.something% of the population. Year 350 AD, there are 33,882,008 Christians, 56% of the population in 350 years, which is probably like this. And why did that happen? It happened because they were sharing their faith. Having been built up by the community inside the church, they wanted to invite others in to share with them what they had found in church. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Don't we long to be a church where that is true? And we need to remember, therefore, that our church community is never full. There's always room for more people being added to our number. But how does that happen? Well, I had this amazing talk recently from an evangelist called John McGinley, and he was talking about how he'd wanted to reshape the vision of his church in Leicester to being about evangelism. And he says it starts with prayer, praying every day for opportunities to share our faith. And when he started challenging the people in his church to do that, he started hearing the most amazing stories of people who were having opportunities to talk about their faith in a very real and natural way with the people that they encountered. So who are we praying for? How often are we praying that we might have a chance to share our faith with someone? Who are we seeking to share our faith with? I don't know how you feel about your faith at the moment, but I wanted to end with, let's have a fire in our church to have something of what the early church had. And what were they like? Well, they were devoted to one another. Look around the room with me. These people around you are your church family. Let's be devoted to one another. Let's remember that we have Christ in common. So all other differences melt away. Let's find prayerful fellowship in whatever way that works for us. And let's find support where we can journey with other Christians day by day. And let's be people who share our faith. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the vision of the early church, that they loved you. And despite all the differences that there were between them, they had Christ in common and they were devoted to each other. Please, God, could we be a church that is totally devoted to each other, that loves one another, that walks and journeys with one another in our faith, and that seeks to share Christ with the people in our community. Amen.